Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast. We are your hosts, Hannah Elizabeth
and Kate Mitchell. This is a place where you can find true crime tales, morbid mysteries and all things spooky.
We are two Scousers with a true crime and red wine passion. Expect wine reviews, Scouse banter and much more.
Our podcast does include graphic content and explicit language. Discretion is advised.
So grab a belly, it's about to get heavy.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm Hannah Elizabeth.
And I'm Kate Mitchell.
And welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers. We are back.
Wait, what number episode is this?
Is it 12?
I think it could be. Let me check.
We have had a break.
We have had a break.
A big break. What's it been a week?
This is episode 12. Yes, we've missed 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry, guys. We have just been chock-a-block.
And you know, life just gets in the way sometimes. You can't be helped. But we are trying to make sure that we have a plan in place and know each other's schedules prior to each week so we can plan in when we can meet up, when we can record, because the editing process is long. Mm-hmm. So it's just making sure that we communicate better, isn't it, Han?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've just been so chock-a-busy, but obviously we bring you the apps as soon as we can.
But
pins and needles in my leg. Already.
I know, same. I'm not comfy. We've started this a bit prematurely, guys.
And I've got pins and needles in my toe.
Let me move my hip. No, my legs are actually killing. I went on a night out, Han. And you know when you wear heels.
Oh my God.
But it was 3 days ago. I'm still ruined.
Oh, I hate that.
I'm not like ruined from being hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Just my legs are sore from like dancing the night away.
I love that girl.
But, yeah. Other than that, we haven't really got any business to attend to. Hannah's up the wall, as usual.
Oh, yeah, I am up the wall about World War III. So I've had, like, severe anxiety, and I just can't turn the Sky News off, but...
Whereas I am
Kate's
not giving it any attention, and I'm just saying, listen, it's sad.
I am stressing about it.
She keeps sending me, like... I'm not laughing, because obviously it's horrific circumstances, but, like, she could... Hey, babe... You've seen the latest.
I know.
WhatsApp and I go, oh, what now?
I'm sitting up till like,
coming, and I'm
2 o'clock in the morning watching friggin' Putin lunging me vape. I'm stressed.
Well, no. I mean, I'm not saying there's no reason to be stressed, but it's not what we're going to discuss tonight.
We might not be here in a few weeks.
Why?
To bring the other episode, because we might not.
This is escapism, Hannah. We do this podcast to escape from the real world and discuss true crime, okay?
In the real world, though.
Yeah, well, the true crime is the real world, but this is our fake world where we can just, like, discuss
things
that don't have any direct, like, effect on us. So just chill.
Okay.
This is positivity only vibes, okay?
Well, it's not in a minute when I'm...
Well, yeah. I was going to say when she goes into a case, which is going to be unreal, by the way.
Yeah,
because
it's
a multiple party.
It is a multiple party, yeah. So from when we did Jeffrey Dahmer, when we did part 1 and 2, which was our very first case.
Intro, yeah.
we wanted to start off with a big one, but really we hadn't like
learned how
we
to
weren't
do
like yet. On the ball, but we haven't done a big massive case for a while,
this is going to be a good one. But
this is a massive one.
We're discussing this big case, which Hannah will reveal in a minute. We're washing all the information down
and all the fear away.
Yeah, all the fear away.
I mean, taking the edge off.
I mean, don't drink to subside anxiety, please. That's not good advice. But
makes it worse.
It does make it worse. But we're going to be enjoying a nice glass of Chateau Neuf du Pape.
Oh my god, so I've had this before, it's dead posh.
Right, because we decided that we needed a good wine. So this is £18.
Wow.
From Morrison's.
Yeah, it's unreal, to be honest.
And yeah, it's a Chateau Neuf du Pape. It's actually delicious.
It's to treat yourself.
Yeah, if you ever fancy a little treat. We've said we're going to do a mix of wines. We've done loads of little, not basic bitch ones, but we've done like our favourites and some cheaper ones, but this is our little bit of a more pricier one.
Unreal.
It has a complex and enticing nose of ripe black fruits, spices and leather.
Leather?
I get that, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, I get the leather element. And woody. But it says to drink with roast or grilled meat and rich stews. So, like, I was going to say, it could be for, like, winter vibes, the nice scouse.
Mm.
But even though we're getting to lighter summers and, I mean, lighter nights and stuff now, but you love scouse, I can't bear it. But...
Hey, do you know, by the way, I'm just putting in, do you know it's pancake day today?
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen any stories?
No.
Hey, look what we did in where.
I haven't had a pancake. Oh, Red Jazz, though, in Jamie's, but I haven't had one.
Right, no, look at this. Hang on.
Like, I feel like I haven't seen any pancake. Oh.
So that was a little treat from the little dessert shop in Manchester where
that,
I work.
That is...
No, I don't work in the little dessert shop, but the little dessert shop gave us loads of boxes of pancake.
You have had a good pancake. I'm going to make pancake day tomorrow.
Well, that's fine. You do you, hun.
Yeah.
Fab.
Well, I feel like I haven't really been on Insta today because I've been driving, but I haven't seen any pancake.
I've seen loads. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we were fully prepared in the Muse office.
Love that.
And it was unreal. I had like this sauce that was like basically melted Kinder Bueno.
Oh, stop it. That is insane.
Fire. But I think other than that, I don't think we've got much to talk about. I don't think. I mean, yes. Apologies for the break. We're trying to be more consistent, and we will. But yeah.
It's worth the wait. This one.
It is. It is indeed. So take it away, Han.
Okay. So yous are all, of course, yous are gonna know about this case. This is part one. I am bringing you Fred and Rose West. Woo! Oh my god, this one, there's that much information. It's like,
I can't wait to hear.
I don't know if it's gonna actually be two or three parts because there's that much info.
Well, I love that.
We'll try and put it into two.
Yeah,
but
I've done that a few times, like with that Columbine one. I was like, I should have done it two, because the more you read, the more you find. You're like, fuck, I want to add this in, I want to add that in. And then I don't want to put too much information. Is it boring? Is it this? Is it that? But no, I'm excited for our Fred
and Rose. Are you ready?
I'm ready, you know.
Oh my God. Okay, so everyone brace yourself for this episode. So this is part one, and this is going to be big trigger warnings, everyone, because it does get heavy. So grab a bevy. It's about to get heavy.
I nearly forgot about that again.
I know, I slipped it in there.
Good girl.
Okay, so Fred was born in the small town of Muchmarkle in Hertfordshire. He was the second of the six children of Walter Stephen West and Daisy Hannah Hill. By his own account, he was subject to sexual abuse of various kinds as a child. And he said it was quite, you know, common in his household. He claimed his father had had sexual relationships with his daughters.
God.
And taught him bestiality.
What?
Which is sex with animals.
Jeez.
It has also been suspected that Fred's mother started sexually abusing him when he was 12. Though he's never admitted to it and it's never been confirmed. So it's just a speculation. Neither of Fred's claims that he also engaged in incest and even impregnated one of his sisters.
Wow, that's That is so heavy.
What the hell? Regardless of this, Fred and his mother seemed to be, you know, very close, had a really good relationship. When he was physically punished for getting in shit at school, so, you know, if he was being a bit naughty in his woodwork or his artwork classes, his mum, who was described as obese and she often dressed unattractively, just to paint a picture of her for you.
Like, I love those two things. She was obese and she didn't dress well.
And whenever he'd be naughty in school, she'd go to the school in person and basically kick off at the teachers for, like, having a go at him.
Yeah.
And for punishing him.
It's mad, though, because, like, I feel like your mum would defend you, whereas like my mum would be like, serves you right.
Serves you right.
My mum would never yeah. go to the school.
But the thing is as well, I'm mad that because obviously it was speculated all this stuff was going on at home, yeah. but then it said
then
that
she
was
fiercely defended him, yeah.
protective. So we don't know because it weren't confirmed that about her. Fred left school at the age of 15, even though he was almost illiterate, and he got a job as a farmhand. When he was 16, his looks improved, apparently.
I was going to say, did they?
And he apparently became more attractive to girls, okay. so they say.
Okay.
At the age of 17, he was in a motorcycle accident that put him in a coma for a week. And it led to him having a metal plate operated into his head. And he also broke one of his legs so badly that he was permanently... left with a leg shorter than the other.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me too. So he must have been like limping about a bit for the rest of his life. Like a bit of a...
Good job that his good looks, you know, covered that.
So one leg shorter. So after the accident, he was known that he got like a bad temper mm-hmm. and he often had like violent outbursts of like this mad anger mm-hmm. after the accident.
Well, was it's always
the head
these,
trauma.
I was gonna say
or...
these things are all adding up. Abuse. Yeah. Head trauma.
Yeah, tick tick tick.
Yeah.
2 years after the accident, Fred hit his head yet again.
Okay.
When he stuck his hand up a girl's skirt and she pushed him down a fire escape.
Good fucking girl.
Like, you should have pushed him a bit harder, babe. What the fuck? Like,
jeez.
No, Fred, you can't do that.
No, well, you deserve that one.
Yay. When he was 19, he was convicted of molesting a 13-year-old girl. Right. Now, when I first read this, it didn't actually say that it was a sister. But when I watched Trev McDonald, we're going to go with Trev.
We love our Trev.
Trev said that it was his sister.
Right, so there's conflicting, but...
Yeah.
He said, Trev said the sister.
Trev said, so let's, Trev doesn't lie.
No, he doesn't.
When it all came about, basically his sister wasn't prepared to grass her brother up.
Oh, so she wouldn't testify?
No.
Ah.
So he didn't serve any jail time because of this. And his doctor also bailed him out on that one and said that he suffered from epileptic fits. But what the hell has that got to do with it? Like, I know people that suffer with epileptic fits, and it's like...
They don't get away with molesting people, do they?
No.
I mean, I get it. It's like a... that'll be linked to maybe the head traumas that he had, but it doesn't excuse...
Anything else,
yeah. It can be a direct result, which is fine.
Yeah.
But don't molest people.
And then do you think maybe when they might play on that, mightn't
yeah,
they?
For sure.
You
know
what I mean?
Like, I've had a head trauma and this and this. And
like, oh, I can get away with
and
things
And the thing
yeah.
is... If that did damage his like frontal lobe and all that, that might have caused what happened, which is fine. It's not necessarily his fault in that regard,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't excuse you.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And obviously, there's no excuses for what you're about to tell me. I know bits and bobs about this case, so
yeah,
I'm sure you're going to tell me a bit
sure
more.
I'm sure you do,
I'm scared.
So after that, with the sister, he was practically disowned then by the rest of his family.
Yeah.
When he was 21... though, his family let him back into their lives.
Okay.
And he moved back to Muchmarkle, where he resumed a romantic relationship with an ex-girlfriend of his called Catherine Rena Costello.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to relate to her as Rena.
Okay.
She'd been, you know, she had a bit of a history for petty thief when they first started dating, and then she'd moved on to prostitution.
Lovely.
When Fred met Rena, she was already pregnant with the child of a Pakistani man that she was no longer with. And her and Fred married, and they both, you know, agreed to keep the child and bring the child up together.
Okay, good.
So once they had married, they also had a child of their own, a daughter they named Anne-Marie. A few years later, their marriage finally collapsed and Costello went back to Scotland alone.
Okay.
But in July of 1966, she did come back because she missed the daughter.
So that was the daughter that wasn't his, though?
Well, both kids.
Yeah.
Because she'd left them with Fred.
She should come back and miss them.
Oh,
good on her. That she missed the kids, you know. Oh, fucking hell.
You know, come back.
Yeah.
When she got back, she discovered that Fred had started another relationship with a woman called Anne McFall.
Right.
In 1967, Anne McFall became pregnant with Fred's child and tried to get him to divorce Costello.
Right.
In response, okay, his reaction to this,
Was it dead calm and nice and agreeing? What did he do?
In response, he killed, dismembered, and buried her.
Gee. I mean, I knew something bad was coming. That's why I was being sarcastic, but...
But in, you know, in Fred's...
Way to deal with it, mate.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Costello finally left Fred for good a few months later, leaving again their children with him.
Wow.
Fred is suspected to have killed again in January of 1968 when 15-year-old Mary Baslam, I don't know how to say this guy's, Baslam.
We're saying Baslam.
When 15-year-old Mary Baslam disappeared from a bus stop. After the death of his mother in February, Fred started committing a lot of petty thefts and he changed jobs a lot. It was during a stint as a bakery truck driver that he then met his future wife and accomplice, Rosemary Letts.
Oh!
Sorry, I'm having a coughing fit.
It's okay.
So that is where he met, you know.
Rosemary.
His full-on partner in crime.
Yeah.
And we always say, don't we,
How did people meet? Yeah, fine. People meet each other all the time. But how did two
get
fucked up people
get drawn together like that?
And then have that convo going, I'm into this. Oh, wait, so am I.
And these two just, like, came together.
It's bizarre. So he's already killed a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or been suspected of killing a couple of people. And then he meets her.
And things are just about to get so much worse. So Rosemary Letts was born in Northam in Devon on the 29th of November, 1953, to William Andrew Bill Letts and Daisy Gwendoline Fuller. After a difficult pregnancy, she was the fifth of seven children, and she was born into the family, and they were quite poor.
Yeah.
Rose's mother suffered from severe depression, and she was often given electroconvulsive therapy while she was pregnant with Rose.
Really thought that would cure people.
Like, yeah, which is like, you see that on, like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's one of my mum's favourite films.
One of the best films of all time.
She saw that when she was training to be a nurse.
Really?
Yeah, she's been a nurse for like 43 years. This was 43 years ago when she was training. She saw people getting that done. And that was like a thing. Obviously not now.
Oh my god, and obviously it was like killing
them. It was in the temples, but they said it would like cure certain mental.
And it looked dead painful. Mm,
get a bite on like a leather strap.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
Yeah, I can literally see now. So her mum was getting this therapy while she was pregnant with Rose, which is crazy. Some have argued later on that this treatment may have caused prenatal injuries to the daughter,
I agree. Surely that's not safe for any baby.
Not at all. Daisy actually received her last session of ECT just days before Rose was born. So obviously she was like a full baby by then as well.
Even doing it, I mean, I don't know anything about babies, I'm not going to claim to, but I have a feeling early on is when it can affect.
Mm.
You can... you know, if you do things early on, that can affect, like, the growth of the fetus.
Yeah, yeah.
But even at the end, when it's about to be born, it's full term, mm-hmm. and it's getting electric shock run through it.
I know. It's
she, you know what I mean?
She is actually, I'm right. Rose grew up, and she was described as being, like, a proper moody, stroppy teenager. She was prone to just be daydreaming on another planet, and she performed shit in school, basically. Yeah. Rose's parents separated when she was a teenager. She lived with her mother and attended her school for 6 months. Later moving in with her father at the age of 16 in Bishop's Cleeve near Cheltenham, Gloucestershire. Her father suffered from paranoid schizophrenia.
He's got schizophrenia, so he's a schizophrenic.
Okay, he's got schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And he was prone to extreme violence, and he repeatedly sexually abused Rose and her older sister, Patricia.
Bloody hell.
So, she's
not got off to a great start either, does
no,
she?
No, and it always does, doesn't it?
I know, and that's where
a lot of it.
And it's always the case that you feel sorry for them then.
Yeah, when they're a kid.
When they're a kid and these things are happening, and you think, oh, that's awful. But then it's how there's many people that go through the same thing and don't turn out.
Yeah, of course. And it's the way a lot of them then go on to sexually, you know, abuse someone else. So, as Rose was, you know, coming up, being a teenager, she was on the thing of puberty and all that. She was reportedly fascinated by her own body developing, and she'd deliberately, like, parade around naked or semi-naked in the house in front of a younger brother and a dad.
Ooh.
On numerous occasions at the age of 13, she would also, this is so fucking weird, she would also creep into the 9-year-old Graham's bed, a brother, when he was in bed at night, and molest him and her younger brother, Gordon.
Oh my God.
That is fucked
up. So she was walking around Ballico firstly and then was molesting her two brothers?
Yeah. That is just fucked up. So back to Fred and Rose. Not long after they were, you know, together, Rosemary became pregnant with Fred's child. So okay. Fred's got a few.
Yeah, he's knocking them up now. I mean, he's racking them up, the kids.
A girl they named Heather. But shortly after this, Fred was sent to prison for dishonesty and theft, which then left Rose to take care of their daughter and his other children that he'd had with Rena.
Yeah.
And
then one of them wasn't even his, the first kid.
Exactly, yeah. Because of her temper problems, and she had, like, a lot of resentment about caring for the children that weren't hers.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, like, you know, her stepdaughters, she was a bitch to them.
She was not treating them the same.
And yeah, she was a bitch to them, basically, and had a bad temper. Neighbours said she was often mistreating the children. She didn't really like Charmaine.
The firstborn.
As she wasn't her, like you've just said, that wasn't her child, but it wasn't even Fred's child.
That's what I mean.
Sometime in June 1971, Charmaine went missing and just disappeared off the face of the earth, and Rose told everyone that she'd gone to live back with her birth mother.
Right, and that's a good enough excuse, isn't it?
In Scotland.
Yeah, oh, she's up in Scotland.
Yeah. The little girl was actually found we're going to go into this a bit more later, but the little girl was actually found 23 years later under an extension made by Fred at the back of the house.
Wow.
Although admitting to the murder, it turned out Fred was in jail around the time that Charmaine had died. So
it was all in?
Yeah, so the police had then, you know, put it on the killer of the 8-year-old was probably Rose, because he was in prison. When the body was found, it was found without any fingers or toes. Rena then came back from Scotland again.
Oh, yeah, because she missed the kid again.
She was looking for her child, who was now obviously dead.
Now, this was a problem to Fred and Rose now, of course, because obviously they've told people that...
He's back with the Ma.
Yeah, back with the Ma. And as this was a problem to them...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Fred later made, you know, he didn't, I don't think he, I think he gave an impression.
Right.
That he'd, he took Rena out, got her drunk, and
he thought, I'm going to deal with it.
He's got to deal with it.
But he has never admitted this. Is that what you mean?
I think.
Oh, yeah. He took her out and he dealt with it.
He got her drunk and he killed her.
Okay.
That's what we think. Three people are already dead at this point.
Yeah.
But it's about to get much worse.
Jeez.
So they married on January the 29th, 1972. Fred encouraged Rosemary to have sex with other men, both for money and for fun, and often watched her through a peephole.
Right.
Yeah, so she'd bring the fellas into the house.
I always knew she was a habit of a goer.
Yeah.
From, like, other things I've read, it's like she was game.
Rose was game as fuck. And he loved it.
And he loved that she was game.
In the little hole, people. He also took erotic photos of her and posted them in Swinger magazine as ads for prostitution. So he was all for this.
He was marketing
He
was marketing manager.
He
was getting
he got a kick out of this. In June of 1972, they had another daughter together called Mae West. Okay. Oh, that's quite cute as well. In order to make room for their expanding family and Rosemary's prosy business.
Yeah.
They moved to, because before this they were in an
apartment. Yeah.
They moved to the famous 25 Cromwell Street.
Cromwell Street.
That's it. And do you know what? I think anyone who knows this case, them famous images of that like corner,
I can see it right now, where it's
just like knocked down.
They just demolished it. Well, rightly so, they could never
imagine
have.
Imagine even living next door to that.
You'd move.
It wouldn't even live on the same route.
Knowing that, like, there, all this horror happened, which was.
If anyone lives in this road, please get in touch with us.
We'll get you on here.
We need to ask you questions.
And we need to have a little walk around.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, Cromwell Street was where it was, like, literally a house of horrors.
I think
in, like, not just British history, but this case just goes down in,
it's
notorious.
The sensationalism in the press around it was mega. Mm-hmm. This went worldwide. It wasn't just like, this has happened, a really sad story has happened in England.
This is, like, another level. So, to help pay the mortgage in their, like, bigger place now, they started taking in lodgers. I just can't talk today. They started taking in lodgers, and these were often, like, young, attractive women.
Oh, sure.
Rose made it clear to the lodgers about the prostitution. She never, like, hid it. And a lot of these, like, girls have been interviewed and stuff, and they'll, you know, if you watch all these programmes, they'll actually say, like, there was men coming in and out, and then it was kind of just made known.
Mean, it's fine. If that's what you want to do.
But
then it's like, I suppose, I just think, well, there's kids there. But then...
And they actually called it her red room, and apparently Rose used to have the key round her neck, the only key to get in the room, and it was like... I might have wrote this down a little bit later on, but he used to have a red light outside when it was, like, occupied. Yeah.
Like a toilet.
So it was the proper red light.
Red light district.
Red light district for Rose there.
Room was occupied.
Hey, get up. How about them fellas? I mean, would they be too old now? I'm shit with things like that, but... Loads of fellas, obviously,
shagged it.
And
it's only the 70s.
And they think now, like...
This was only, what, 40 years ago? 40, 50 years ago. Like, my mum and dad remember this.
They must think most of them, like, fuck on her.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, shagging her. I've seen her in the paper.
Yeah.
In the
I mean, whether they admit that they were shagging her, maybe not. But to themselves, they'll be like, they'll oh, be my thinking, God. I went round to Cromwell Street one day.
Yeah?
In that red room.
Oh, my God. So it was made clear to all the lodgers about the prostitution, and loads of men were just in and out, and they were drawn to Cromwell Street for the sex. Fred can't talk. Fred
I
West.
I couldn't talk last episode, my stutter.
I'm like, no.
I listened to it back, and I'm like,
I'm dead tired, everyone, to that part.
So apologies.
Fred West was a sadist, and Rose had a dark appetite for sex as well. So the more violent the sex, the better.
Oh, God.
Fred felt like Rose was the perfect partner because she was into all the same things. And sorry, my nose now was blocked. And I'm, what?
It's fine. We'll
She was encouraging all his dark sexual desires. So I think Rose was like a freaky bitch, basically.
It's like a perfect match in a way, but then also like the worst kind of perfect match.
Because for
how the levels it went to. I mean,
yeah, like,
if he'd never killed anyone and she never killed anyone and they were just fucked up together, fine.
Then fine.
Go wild.
Do
go
what you
off,
want. Yeah.
Go off and enjoy it. But
obviously, later we all know that they get involved in all these rapes and murders, which she loved. Jeez. And so did he. Rosemary continued working as a prostitute from their home in a room fitted with peepholes for him. To not just watch, but also film and having sex. And here we go. I never drew this down. And the red light outside would be lit to also tell the children not to enter.
So they even knew. I mean, yeah. I suppose they didn't know, because maybe not have known exactly what was going on, but they knew. Don't go in there when the red light's on.
Oh, scary. My God, this is insane. Over the following years, she gave birth to 7 more children.
Yeah.
That is just crazy.
I mean, to be fair, we get shocked by that, but back then it was kind of normal.
Well,
our nans and that. Well, my nan was like one of 13, I'm sure.
Oh my God.
I think it was 9. Like, it's a big, big family. Big,
yeah.
Whereas now people have one and you, only child syndrome over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she gave birth to 7 more children, of which 3 were fathered by Fred. Another may have been conceived by Rosemary and her own father, who kept engaging in incest with her even after she gave birth to her 4th child.
Wait, so she'd left the family home, she's living with him, she's married, she's got kids, and she's still getting with her dad?
I think even on some occasions he was actually coming round to the house, like, to visit as a client. Yeah.
Wow.
A dad. The other 3 who were of mixed race were all fathered by her clients.
Yeah.
Fred encountered via his way. So Rose would go around bragging to people that no man or woman could ever completely satisfy her in the bedroom.
Of course.
When engaging in sexual relations with women, Rose would gradually increase the level of brutality to which she subjected her partners with acts such as partially suffocating the partner or inserting increasingly large dildos into her partner's body. If the woman resisted or expressed any pain or fear, this would excite Rose, like she'd love it.
Right.
And she'd typically ask them, "Aren't you woman enough to take it?" Like, isn't she just an absolute sicko?
Demon.
In a bad way, obviously.
Yeah, demon.
To many of these women, it became apparent that Rose and her husband, who regularly like had threesomes and all
obviously
that kind of thing,
wild, yeah.
Going wild, took a particular pleasure from seeking to take women like beyond their sexual limits, like even if
right,
they weren't
even
happy
if they
with
came
it.
Game, if they came game for something, if it got past to a certain level, they were like, no, they love that.
Yeah, and people were like clicking on, you know, this was like a known thing.
Oh.
So typically it'd be like sessions involving bondage. The Wests openly admitted to taking a particular pleasure from any form of sex involving a strong measure of dominant pain or violence.
Wow.
To cater to these fetishes, they collected a large amount of like bondage restraining devices, magazines and photographs.
Right. So they just had a big, that red like, room was yeah, coming into it was an actual
the
red
room of actual pain.
Yeah. Wow.
Later they expanded this collection, so it just started off, you know, the bondage, and then it later did include videos of bestiality again, so of animals and graphic child sexual abuse.
Jeez.
What the fuck? And just to think
they are just like a sexually
yeah, like crazy, like, aren't they?
Deviant.
Yeah.
Horrible couple. Like obviously like duh. But the levels are just the depravity is vile.
Rose was the one who basically wore the child, as she controlled as well all the West family finances, and Fred would give it all his pay packets. The room Rose used for the prostitution in the West House that we called Rose's room or the Red Room.
Yeah.
Basically, he was using these peepholes in this room for years on end to watch and entertain the clients. He also then installed a baby monitor to the room, allowing him to listen. So if he was somewhere else in the house, he could then listen to everything that was going on in the room. The room included a private bar, a red light, letting everyone know not to disturb her, and she was the one that carried the soul key round her neck.
Wow.
He also then, they were like, he must have been thinking of ideas as he went along. Yeah, like, no,
this obviously you
how
can
see
can like
add to the room. Yeah.
He's like, we've got a bar, right? What else can we've got a light. Yeah. We've got lighting, we've got sound, we've got Rose, audio visual.
We've got like monitor.
Yeah. What else can we add? I mean, like, I'm laughing. I like, but it's horrific, but I can just imagine him sitting he's there. Like,
they're like adding to it.
Come on, what did they add?
He installed a separate doorbell to the household, which Rose's clients were instructed to ring whenever they visited. So they had like their own way in.
Their own access to
so
it.
So they had like this little biz going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Much of the money earned from the prostitution was then spent on the rest of the house for home improvements and probably on the friggin' room.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Right, is what I wanted to tell you. By 1977, Rose's father, so the one who's obviously molested her and all that when she was younger, Rose's father had come to tolerate the fact that the daughter had got married. And he ended up having like a weird respect for Fred. Together, him and Fred opened a cafe that they named the Green Lantern.
That's random.
I know. When Bill Letts discovered Rose's prostitution, which is what I told you earlier, he would also visit as a client to his daughter. What the fuck? And like, Fred must have knew this, because he was obviously watching.
Yeah, come on. This is a group of sick individuals. He's probably like, yeah, fuck it. He's probably like in the kitchen, like building a new table, listening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
When each of the West children reached the age of 7, this is so sly, by the way, they were assigned to, like, numerous daily chores to perform in the house. They were rarely allowed to socialise outside the household unless either of their parents were present. And it was probably because they didn't want them, like, opening them out.
I'm going, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Different men in the house every day.
And from what I've, like, watched and stuff on documentaries, she had them, like, slaving away in the house. And yeah. She was horrible.
I can imagine this. Like, I imagine being like a big, fat, lazy, horrible woman.
Yeah,
being,
like, no...
Do this.
Compact, what's
no maternal.
Called, towards
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she just ordered them about giving them all these chores around the house. And they'd have to follow all these strict guidelines from Fred and Rose.
Right.
And if they didn't, there'd be like severe punishment. And it was almost always physical for them not doing the household chores.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the children feared being like on, as you would, the end, like on the end of the violence from the parents.
For sure, yeah. And it must have been tread on eggshells constantly.
Yeah, it was occasionally by Fred, but most of the violence was majority, I just can't speak.
I know what you're saying.
Inflicted by Rose. Yeah, it was mainly Rose.
It was mainly Rose, yeah.
Sometimes Fred. The violence was sometimes irrational or just inflicted for her, like, her own gratification.
Yeah, I feel like the Papiccio build, it's like Fred's like a submissive. She's like the dominant.
Yeah.
They're both into the same things, but he's quite happily happy to leave her to do her own thing. Yeah. She's the horrible. They're both horrible. Yeah. But she's like the bossy, controlling one. Scumbag.
She always talk as well. Listen to this. She would beat them and just be horrible sometimes just for her own life because she wanted to.
Yeah.
She always took great care not to mark the children's faces or hands in these assaults.
Yeah, of course.
Heather, then her younger brother, Stephen, born in 1973, both did run away from home, but they both returned to Cromwell Street after several weeks of alternately sleeping rough or trying to stay with friends. How sad that. And on their return home, they were both badly beaten.
I was going to say, yeah, they both got punished.
Like, they actually tried to get away, which is so shit. Between 1972 and 1992, the West children were admitted to accident and emergency department at the local hospitals 31 times, and the injuries were all explained as accidents, and they were never reported to social services.
What
the fuck? And like these,
I mean, it was a different time, and they would have easily been like, oh, you know, a young boy fell out of a tree, got his arm broken.
And then 30 other times.
Well, I mean, I know, but it's over, what, do you say 70 to 90?
Yeah.
That's 20 years, but still, it's still...
It's a lot.
It's still, no, I'm not giving them excuses. It's a fucking hell of a lot of time.
But then at the same time, there was loads of kids. Yeah, so it was probably like, oh, he fell out.
That's what I mean. I can see, I'm not agreeing with it at all, but I can see how it was explained away.
Yeah.
And not reported. Do you know what I mean? Because even you see it now, things don't get reported, and then the kid ended up dying. And
yeah,
social
oh
services
my
being
God,
out how many times, you know what I mean? It's been horrific.
This is something that obviously needs and always has, but it's like they need to look into things.
Oh yeah, everything should be looked into. But then imagine, you know,
every little thing.
You'd be the paperwork and the time spent just for an actual accident.
Then
be,
people must like kick themselves.
I know, it's awful.
Because they could have saved, do you know what I mean? But obviously
they weren't to know. Yeah.
Right, so massive trigger warning.
Okay, I'm ready.
Here, I didn't even know whether to put this much detail in, so I'm going to read it out in, you know, quick as I can.
Okay.
But massive trigger warning.
I'm scared.
Involves a child and all that. So in September 1972, the Wests led their 8-year-old daughter, Anne Marie, down to the cellar at 25 Cromwell Street. And later on, I'm going to tell you all about the cellar, which became like a big deal in this case as well. So this is their own daughter, who was 8. They told her to undress and they would pull all the clothes off her. The minute they seen that she was hesitating.
Oh, yeah.
So once she was naked, they would bound her to a mattress and gagged, and Fred would rape her with Rose's active encouragement.
Can you imagine what was going through her head? After
the rape, Rose would follow her daughter to the bathroom, laughing as she observed her, like, in pain, going to the bathroom. What a fucking bitch, mate. I can't even...
Cunt.
She then handed her, like, sanitary towels and explained to the child, you know, I'm sorry, everyone does this and it's a father's job, don't worry. Don't say anything to anyone. And just told the child that this was normal. And making it clear that these assaults from then on would be normal and would continue.
Would continue, oh my God.
Fred and Rose then threatened the child with severe beatings if they ever received any word that she had told anyone about the abuse that she'd endured. Rose would often sexually assault Anna Marie herself and forced her into prostitution then at the age of 13. By telling all her own clients that Anne-Marie was actually 16 Rose always insisted on being in the room when it was happening. So when she was
she
going.
She is fucked, you know.
I mean, I knew fucked. All this stuff, but you know when I read that,
well,
like...
this is the thing, like, everyone knows this case, and I have listened to podcasts on it, and I've read things about it, and I've watched things, but when you actually list... everything like in this manner,
like
it's
even
like,
that, like I didn't even know whether to put half of that in, but like even like that is proper heavy. That's probably one of the heaviest things we've said on here.
No, I know.
But you know, like following her to the bathroom, laughing at her, I just can't.
I know.
Like as a mum, I can't. This woman is a fucking
demon,
mate.
She is. Cunt.
Yeah. So in October 1972, the West hired 17-year-old Caroline Owens. That's my name.
Sorry, I was drinking. That's my name. Come on.
As their children's nanny. They picked her up one night on a secluded country road as she'd hitchhiked from Tweakersbury to her Cinderford home. Having visited their boyfriend. Learning that Caroline Owens was... she disliked her stepfather and she was looking for a job.
Yeah, so that they're like the ha-ha-ha.
Perfect.
She's
like
a
perfect...
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The West offered her the part-time employment as the nanny to the three children that were then in the household with a promise that she'd be driven home each Tuesday. Several days later, she then agreed and...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Moved into Cromwell Street, that must have been a nightmare. In fact, I think this is the lady that does speak out on... imagine, living...
The thing is, at first, you're like, oh, this nice couple, they got this house, like a nice big house.
But imagine even thinking about, like, I fucking, like, lived in it.
In
like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So she moved into the famous 25 Cromwell Street, sharing a room with Anne-Marie...
Right.
Who Owens noted was a very withdrawn kid.
Well, yeah, she's getting heavily abused.
So, knowing that Caroline, she did hitchhike on this route, like, quite a lot, and obviously that's where they picked it up, and knowing this, The West.
Oh. The Whams.
I went, the Whams. The West had, like, been formulating a plan to abduct her for their, like,
their
evil
own.
Plan.
Yeah, right.
Gratification,
okay.
But...
So they knew, right.
They knew her, like,
routine
and all
right.
that. Fred later admitted that the specific intent of this induction was they both wanted to rape and likely murder Owens. But, and imagine knowing that, like, that was their plan. But it is initial like worry, and I don't know why this was a worry of his, because she was 100% game for everything. His initial worry was whether his wife would be willing to at least assist him in the murder.
Yes. Well, it sounds like even
though they're getting to like
they're gradually getting worse and worse.
Yeah,
if they can't even get worse,
and
but
they do fucking get
it
worse.
It sounds like so. Fred, what's her name? Rose is fucked from the beginning. She loves all the fucked up stuff straight away. He seems quite submissive, but he's got his own little sexual fantasies. Being
dark
like,
in
I
the back.
Is simmering, going like, well, I'd like to abduct someone, rape them, and kill them. And he's probably worried, like, will Rose want to do that?
What
and it's like, well, hang on a minute. Rose has killed a kid so far that we know.
Yeah.
Of. That's Charmaine, was it?
Yeah.
And is clearly the ringleader here.
Yeah.
Wow.
So on the 6th of December 1972, the couple led Owens into the vehicle with an apology. For their apology for, I think, how they'd been being yeah, in the so house.
Yeah, there must be the tensions and
bit of tension, and they offered her a lift home, but this was all a plan. Initially, Owens believed that the, like, she believed their apology and thought, well, oh yeah, like, I know these, obviously I yeah. work for them, so yeah. she took the lift. Believing that she'd simply just, like, you know, mistaken and...
Yeah, all the stuff that was
she
going
was
house,
thinking, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit awkward, there's been a bit of tension. She's now thinking that was
so,
fine.
Oh, and it's a couple as well, I think.
And they've got kids, you wouldn't... A couple's no matter what, more... Even if they were having blazing rows all the time and it was a bad atmosphere in the house, you would never never think what was happening, would you? So
no.
So they've come along and gone, listen, sorry, it's been a bit weird.
Get in the car, we'll take you
there. And she's like, okay. Fine.
And I think a woman putting a couple, you have yeah. more of a sense of security.
For sure, yeah.
So Rose joined her in the back seat with the explanation she wanted a girly chat in the back.
Oh, lovely.
As Fred drove. But shortly after, Rose began to fondle her. As Fred questioned whether she'd had sex with a boyfriend that evening, so things were turning
getting weird, yeah.
weird. When Owens began to protest, Fred stopped the car, called her a bitch and punched her until she was unconscious before him and Rose bound and gagged her with a scarf and duct tape. Owen stated later on to police that at Cromwell Street, she was given a drugged up cup of tea to drink. And then after that, she was then gagged and she was made subject to a very long sexual assault from both Fred and Rose. At one stage, Fred remarked that Owen's clitoris was unusual. Just something she told the police. He then lashed her genitals with a leather belt. Like
whipping her?
Yeah. Oh. My whole fanny is just like...
The way you say things.
No, but it's not, making me cringe.
As always, guys, I'm not laughing at what's happening. I'm laughing at fucking Hannah's
it's making
face
me
reaction.
Cringe.
And I can see her tensing, doing bloody...
Like...
Yeah. What do they call your pelvic floor?
Like,
tenses.
Oh, so he lashed the genitals with a leather belt.
That,
oh,
that is
a stinger, like...
Horrific. Stinger. You need to stop.
You got it.
No, go on. It's horrific.
When Owen screamed, Rose then smothered her with a pillow and further restrained around the neck, and then basically went down on her. Quickly realising the gravity of the situation and how heavy this was, she just stopped resisting went with it. I suppose that's probably quite a normal...
Yeah, I think you can... I don't know. It depends on how your body reacts as well. Sometimes you have control over it.
Yeah.
But she's obviously resisting, then she's just thought, don't resist.
Yeah, The following morning, having noted Owen screaming when one of the children had knocked on the door of the room in which she was still restrained...
Right.
Fred threatened that him and his wife would keep her locked in the cellar and allow his black friends to abuse her.
What?
Yeah.
So he now wants to keep her as a little sex slave?
Yeah. In the basement. And that when they had finished, he would bury her body beneath the paving stones of Gloucester. Fred then claimed that he had killed hundreds of young girls, saying that Owens had primarily...
I know what you're saying.
Being brought to the house just for Rose's pleasure.
Right.
So him and Rose then calmly asked Owens whether she will consider... No, seriously.
Go on.
Whether she will consider returning to work for them as a nanny.
Oh, yeah, hang on a minute.
What?
Hang on, let me just grab my bags, I'll move in.
What the hell? So they threatened her, basically.
Yeah.
They were going to tie her up, they were going to get people to come and abuse her, and they were going to kill her. But then, shut up, do you want to come?
Do you fancy a job?
Oh, yeah. I'll just forget about the other night. It was not no biggie. Like, So seeing this as, like, as a way out kind of thing,
yeah. I'd be going, yeah,
she agreed. I'd be like, yeah, babe.
I'd go, yeah, I just need to get some new uniform or, I don't know, an excuse to go out.
Yeah. So seeing this as, like, a bit of a way out, she agreed. And she started getting on with the chores, hoovering the house. So that it looked like she was, you know,
compliant,
again, and back to part of the family as she would. Later that day, she escaped from a laundrette that hid in Rose.
Yeah, I'd be going, right, let's go and do some washing, or let's go to the shop and get some milk. And then I'd fucking...
And she did at the laundrette.
Well done.
At first, she was too ashamed to tell her mother what had happened, but her mum noticed, like, you know, bruises and all, there was all, like, flesh exposed. All these horrible markings on her daughter's body, and eventually she burst into tears and confided in her mum what had happened.
Oh, poor thing.
Her mum immediately reported her daughter's ordeal to the police, and the West were arrested and charged with assault, indecent assault, actually bodily harm and rape.
Right.
The case was tried at Gloucester Magistrates Court on the 19th of January 1973, but by this date, Owens had decided she couldn't face the ordeal of testifying in court.
See, it always happens.
I know.
Trials are fucked. I know they're necessary. But you don't need to rehash it all.
Mm.
But I know that that's what's needed to then order a jury to get the full story to convict. I know that they need to do it, but this happens time and time again, especially with rape. You don't want to go over it again. So you go, oh, sorry, I'm not doing it.
I'll forget about it, because obviously
it's traumatic for them to relive it all.
So, so she couldn't face the ordeal of testifying in court. So all charges to her sexual abuse were dropped, and the West agreed to plead guilty to it.
Right.
To reduce the charges of indecent assault and causing actually bodily harm. They were both fined £50 each, and the couple were allowed to walk free from court. When Owens heard this news, she attempted suicide. So they literally got a 50 quid fine for all that. And I mean, I know back then that was like probably more,
a couple hundred quid.
Still,
it's not.
They're like laughing.
It's no comparison to what they've put her through.
And she attempted to.
That's so sad.
So for part one,
you're not leaving it there, are you?
I am leaving it there. I feel like there's so much to cover. And that was heavy.
No, I know.
It's gonna get heavier, everyone. So trigger warnings for. I think there might be 2 and 3, or I might do a big long 2.
Yeah, see how you get on.
Trigger warning, it's gonna get even worse.
Jeez, well, I'm glad I had my bevy, me Chateau Neuve de Pas.
I know, babe, needed, so yeah.
And that is why
you don't talk to strangers.
Jesus.
So join us for the next horrific.
I know, we'll keep it there. We won't ramble on too much because we want to get straight on to episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you follow us on Instagram at Don't Talk to Strangers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at DTTSpoddy. You can also email us on don'ttalktostrangerspod@gmail.com. And we have a Patreon, which is Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams One Coat Coverage Interior Paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.